This is All Things Considered on WKAR. I'm Sophia Salaby. Though Detroit's historical Black Bottom neighborhood may be physically gone, author Alice Randall resurrects the energy and life of the Black center of the city in her 2020 novel Black Bottom Saints. The book is in part inspired by a traditional Catholic Saints Day book that's as each short chapter commemorates a Black American, some that are well known and some that are relatively unknown, who touched or was touched by the neighborhood in the mid-20th century. Alice Randall joins me now to talk about her book. Thank you for being here.
It's wonderful to be with you today, Sophia.
Ziggy Johnson is the narrator of your novel. He is known for founding the Ziggy Johnson School of the Theater that catered to young Black children. He was a club MC and a columnist with the Michigan Chronicle. Why did you choose him as the voice of the Black Bottom neighborhood for your novel?
Well, his dance school, the Ziggy Johnson School of the Theater, was the heart of a part of Black Detroit. And it was the place where the 122,808 Black girls who were living in Detroit, according to the 1960 census, gathered most intimately with me. So Ziggy was in so many different worlds. I loved him and I wanted to honor him. I thought he deserved a memorial.
And you also, as you've kind of mentioned, you knew the real Ziggy Johnson when you were a child. What was your process to bring his voice to the page?
I say this is the book that took me 50 years of living and a decade of writing to construct. It was 7 years of hard research, starting with archival materials, scrolling through microfilm in the basement of a library at Vanderbilt, and then following up with reading through hundreds of African-American newspapers, then interviewing people, and also reading full book-length manuscripts. Just wild.
Is there a particular memory of him that sticks out in your mind?
Father's Day, Youth Colossal. Once a year, there was a giant pageant at something called the Latin Quarter. And this was such an important pageant that people, including the Supremes, Sammy Davis, the Mills brothers would get involved, but children in the city of Detroit would be involved. And I participated in the Youth Colossal in 64 and 65. And we have to understand that it was a cross between a W.E.B. Du Bois pageant and a children's recital. It was something that had to do with play therapy. It had something to do with history. It was an important place. The entire community came together. So Ziggy backstage and Ziggy getting us ready to take our place on a stage with as adults as significant voices, that's my biggest memory of Ziggy.
You chose to accompany each chapter with a paired specialty cocktail. How did you come up with that idea?
The book takes as one of its major themes, joy is radical. But it is situated also in the movement from trauma to transcendence for people, period, but Black people specifically. I loved including the cocktails because they are 5 cents addressed to joy. The touch, the taste, the sight, the sound, the scent of joy. And the cocktails also connect us to Thomas Bullock, one of the saints, and they connect us to Ziggy's Catholicism. And so the form takes something from both of those traditions, the Saints Day book or hagiography form and the cocktail recipe book form.
There's something you said there, trauma to transcendence. It's something I've heard you mention a few times in interviews. Can you tell me more about how this became a central theme of your book?
More than half of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence owned slaves. So in the fabric of the founding is Black trauma of being bought, sold, and as we now know, frequently raped and worked. So all Americans have to move from trauma to transcendence, from the trauma in the fabric of the founding. When I was starting to write this book, it was in the rise of the Me Too movement, the rise of the Say Her Name movement, and the rise of the Black Lives Movement. All of these speak out to historic, more recent trauma. Just to speak for a moment about Say Her Name, Tanya Blanding, who's the saddest saint, she is a little girl who was shot down in her home in the summer of 1967, her home in Detroit, by a Michigan State policeman. You don't get to move from trauma to transcendence if you get shot down in your home at 4 years old. But we must all try to figure out how to rise from the ashes of that trauma, just as today we all have to figure out how to rise from the ashes of COVID.
This book is centered on Black Detroit, but I really found it to be about the Black America of the mid-20th century as Ziggy Johnson weaves through the civil rights movement, sports legends, and cultural icons. Why was it important for you to focus on Detroit rather than these places like Chicago's Bronzeville and New York's Harlem that many of these saints also interacted with at around the same time?
I actually think that Detroit in the mid-20th century was the epicenter of Black art, activism, athletics, and industry. Notably in Detroit, what Detroit had, among other things that Bronzeville and Harlem didn't have, was the Gotham Hotel. Langston Hughes himself called the Gotham the number one Negro hotel in the world. So it was delightful to come to the Gotham and not just stay in this hotel, but to see the Black art on the walls. Artist Lane will have her portraits of Black Detroiters and others on those walls. And today she has a sculpture in Biden's Oval Office. So it wasn't just one kind of art of dance and song that we associated with Detroit, but it was a variety of arts. Why? Because what did also Detroit have? The breadwinners. These are the Black men and women who worked in Mr. Ford's and other factories doing this very boring factory work. It prepared them when they got off to want to do something interesting, like engage with art. So Detroit had this empowered Black audience, because the third part of what was different about Detroit and the arts is in Harlem and in Bronzeville. If you were a Black person, you likely perhaps lived in a home, apartment, or house that was owned by white people. And when you went out to the fancy great clubs, you were going to clubs, even if Black people were performing, that they did not own. In Detroit, at one point, we have 80% Black home ownership. And we also have an extraordinary number of Black owned bars, taverns, clubs, so that Black art got to thrive by an all Black art aesthetic. That was the difference of Detroit, was the fire of the breadwinners as audience.
To finish this conversation, it's February. We're kind of reaching a year of living in this pandemic. Is there a saint that you are particularly reflecting on in this time?
One of the saints that I love is Sadie Pryor. She's a librarian. She's a woman who wears her little Black dress and her pearls, but she goes behind the scenes and she argues with racist legislatures to get lifeguards for the Black beaches. A legislature is only as good as the people lobbying it and the witness they bring. We see all the front page people who are involved in politics, but Sadie Pryor reminds us that some of the most important education doesn't happen in the schoolroom or classroom, it happens in the library. And some of the most important politics happens when church ladies with pearls wearing a Black dress go in and witness their truth to power behind the scenes, and someone actually listens.
Alice Randall is a novelist. She wrote the book Black Bottom Saints. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for being here to celebrate. Joy is radical, love is the strut, and hate is the stumble. And on that note, I wish everyone an extraordinary and joyful end of Black History Month.